You talked about three possibilities earlier. We might as well just outline them.
Okay. The first possibility that we came up with is, to many people, the most obvious, and it is one that some people who've read our book and have got in touch with us quite clearly cling to, and that is that it was done by God. At first sight, this seems extremely likely, and it's something that Chris and I discussed a great deal. Who would be in a better position to want to help humanity to develop than God? And if God was working within the known laws of physics which he himself had created, then he would have to bring about some mechanism by which life could be incubated on the Earth. But this poses quite practical as well as ethical problems. For a start, the kind of God that we accept across most religions in the world is a God who exists by faith, not necessarily by proof. Of course, it would mean a great change in religion if we not only thought that God existed, but could see examples of his handwriting, as in the case of the moon. But we have another potential problem here. We know that the Earth and the Sun existed before the moon was created, because the moon has been created from the material and from the patterns of the Sun and the Earth. That being the case, the moon is definitely an afterthought. And we had to ask ourselves, is it likely that an omnipotent and omnipresent being such as God would need to tweak his own creation, as it were? That's the first possibility. God.
Okay. All right, next one.
Well, the next one was alien beings, advanced creatures from some other part of the universe that were so way ahead that they could travel these huge distances and had taken it upon themselves to spot likely planets for seeding life. And they, on their travels, saw the Earth and thought, yep, we can do a bit of work here, and they created the moon and went away again. But they left their calling card to say they'd done it. The problem with that is that the message that is designed is clearly designed to come to us today and clearly designed to come to human beings. Ten-fingered creatures, because everything's in base 10. So they would have had to have known how we were going to develop. But there again, it's possible they were also responsible for the seeding of the DNA. So it's not an impossible theory. But it's interesting that, you know, scientists are increasingly talking about this sort of possibility as being real. I mean, Professor Anthony Flew, who's a lifetime atheist and doesn't believe in anything like that, in his 80s, had turned around last year and said, a superintelligence is the only good explanation for origin of life on Earth. And so he believes it's, that God has done it, but it could equally well be some well-meaning aliens. If somebody wants to believe it's God, fine. If somebody wants to believe it's aliens, fine. But we have a third theory, which we think is slightly more likely.
And this one, and then I want you to put them all on the table, and then we'll go back to the God one first, alien being second, and then this third one again, and I want to be able to review a little bit each one. But the third theory then, tell us how you came up with it, first and foremost.
Well, it seemed to us that the creatures who would have the best interest in creating the moon were the very same creatures who'd noticed what the moon was doing, and that is us. And although it sounds at first quite strange and difficult to get your head around, as we know from reactions we have from our readers, our third theory is that the people who created the moon was us. Nobody in the solar system, nobody in the universe has a better investment in life having developed on Earth than the very intelligent creatures who have come to rule the Earth, and that's humanity. So, again, you know, having to explain it very briefly makes it sound extremely odd. But what we're suggesting is this, that at some stage in the future, humanity takes on board what we are saying here, realizes that the moon is artificial, and also realizes that it will be our job to do it. Now, this involves time travel. There isn't a scientist in the world who can tell you that time travel doesn't exist, but I suppose your scientists will then go on to tell us that you can't prove a negative. But there are many quite influential physicists who positively do accept the possibility of time travel. And what would be necessary, of course, would be for people or perhaps machines to go back in time and to the dawn of the solar system and to create the very moon that we see over our heads at the moment.
Now, this is an interesting theory because it's almost like a paradox. If they came back in time to build the moon, how did they get here in the first place?
The problem with the paradox is that, by definition, it can't be solved. It just means it's something that humans can't get their head around. But all scientists have agreed that the laws of physics and the laws of mathematics indicate that time travel is possible, and an increasing number of people say it is going to happen. And, in fact, it may be happening within the next 12 months. There are experiments being created to send subatomic particles backwards
sure.
in time. And there are people working on it to send larger objects backwards in time. There is absolutely no reason why it shouldn't exist. But yet people say, well, if we built the moon, so we'd be here, you've got a sort of circle. Yes, you have, but there's no problem with it. It may hurt your head to think about it, but scientifically, it's squeaky clean. So the only of the three alternatives, the only one that is scientifically squeaky, completely squeaky clean, is the time travel theory.
It is a strange theory, though. It really is.
It sounds strange, but it isn't.
Let's just have a look at this paradox just for a very brief moment.
Sure.
One of the main reasons why people suggest that time travel would be impossible is the famous paradox of a person who goes back in time and shoots their own grandfather. Now, mm-hmm. having done so, of course, your mother or your father would not be born, and if they were not born, then you would not exist in order to go back to shoot your grandfather. But you can turn that paradox completely on its head, and you can say, what happens if your grandfather is walking down the road and is about to be run down by a passing bus, and it is your absolute necessity and duty to go back in time and push him away from the bus? In other words, if you don't actually go back in time and do that, then your grandfather won't exist and therefore you won't exist. So although the paradox sounds insoluble, it can be turned completely on its head. And if you extend that to our idea with regard to the moon, it could be suggested that the moon is there. The moon was made, somebody made it, we made it, therefore we have to go back in time to make it. And the only paradox develops if we don't.